Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. We are back in our Father's Word, second chapter of Lamentations, which in the true name is Akkah, which is how. And the first, second, and fourth chapter start with that word, how. How did we get in this mess? How did this come to be? And gives us the answer. And even in a prophetic sense, capping off the great prophet Jeremiah, the prophecy of Jeremiah, letting us know even the inner feelings of Almighty God in some places. So, having said that, we got to the 20th verse in chapter 2. Let's pick it up and finish that chapter, and then we will begin with chapter 3. And with that word of wisdom from our Father, verse 20, chapter 2, Lamentations, and it reads, "Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit, and children of a span long? Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord?" How can this be? Well, it is true that many women do destroy their young. Okay, and it comes to pass as it is written. And the span, the long, means to pick the child up and hold it in a not too savory way, dangle it, in other words, okay, in the Hebrew. And certainly the priest and the prophet slaying, what, spiritually dead. No truth brought forth. That's why the young are starving. Verse 21, "The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the city of thine anger. Thou hast killed and not pitied." There's no rohama, not pitied, not loved. Why would God not love them? That sounds almost, well, they turned away from him. He laid everything out whereby blessings are there for everyone, and when you turn your back on him, that's your choice today. The same thing. You can turn your back on God, and he'll let you go as far off into the deep as you wish to go. Or, on the contrary, if you love him, and if you feed your family the truth, the word of God, we're speaking spiritually here, they are plump and health spiritually to attain eternal life. That makes a big difference. Or you can go the way of the world and destroy your children. It's your choice. Okay. Many would say, well, it says God didn't. No, God allows it if you're stupid. Okay. Verse 22, "Thou hast called, as in a solemn day, my terrors round about," it's all about, "so that in the day of the Lord's anger, none escaped nor remained. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed." They took them over. They don't. In other words, the house of Israel, and that's who it's talking about, the true children of Judea, they don't know who they are today, most of them. They really don't. And you know something else? The real sad part is they don't care. When they realize they give up their heritage just like Esau, instead of searching it, finding it, delighting in it, they waste it. And so it is. So there we have that. We come to chapter 3. Now listen to me very closely. Though in the English Bible, chapter 3 has 66 verses. The Hebrew manuscripts, you've only got 22 verses with three lines each. Okay. Now, the acrostic is this. Each three lines begins in succession with the same Hebrew letter. Inasmuch as there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, then each segment of three lines will begin with the same Hebrew letter. However, there is an acrostic in it, again, between the 16th and the 17th. But you've got to multiply that by three to understand what I'm saying, to understand it in these three lines, to convert it back to the Hebrew manuscripts to get the 22 verses. In other words, let me simplify it. Verses 1, 2, and 3 begin with a leap. verses 4, 5, and 6 begin with Basak, okay, and so forth throughout the 22 letters of the alphabet. In other words, each three verses, which makes one verse in the Hebrew manuscripts, each three lines start with the same Hebrew letter. Got it? Okay. Verses, and again, it's a division of 11. Okay, 66 verses, 66 lines, 22 verses, and of course, at the 22nd verse in the English Bible, the subject will change. From 1 through 21, you've got judgment. And then I will call your attention to it. At 22, then you have remembered of Yah's mercy. That's God's mercy. And that's where the point changes, on the 11. Okay, got it? If you don't understand that, it's no problem. Just listen to the verses. The message is clear. Chapter 3, verse 1. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. This is the prophet putting himself in the place of the whole nation. Okay. If it makes it easier for you, and as much as we've been talking about Jerusalem, the city, but basically the whole nation of Jacob, okay, all the natural seed. He says, I'm putting myself in that place. I've seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. That's chastisement. That's judgment. God does, if he loves somebody, he's going to correct them. You can count on it. Verse 2, one of the second verses of the Aleph. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. And remember, he's speaking for the nation now. He scattered them. Why? Because they deserve to be scattered. Okay. The third verse and the final Elif, it reads, surely against me alone, the nation, if he turned, he turneth his hand against me all the day. He's correcting. This is the correcting rod, the correcting hand. In God's service, you must have discipline. Without discipline, you are not pleasing to Almighty God. Okay, and God corrects those he loves. So if he's correcting you, you can rest assured he still has love for you. Verse 4, the first of the bet. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. It's been a hard trip, but people bring it on themselves. Understand? Verse 5. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. That's bitterness, okay? And it's built all around me, okay? If you don't turn to him, it will be. It's so easy to say, Father, I love you. Let me see the light. Get me out of this darkness. Okay. And the final of the bet, we read in the third verse of it, he has set me in dark places, and they that be dead, as they that be dead of old. We're speaking spiritually here. Spiritually deader than a hammer. Where God's word is not taught, people drift away. Our Father doesn't like that. The children that he set aside, to which Christ would come, and the 12 patriarchs having given instruction with God's blessings, God always leading when they would follow, and yet they bring themselves to the point of destruction and scattering, but they did it to themselves, and they deserve the correction. Understand, in the personal sense, you can come out of that anytime you so choose in your life. Verse 7. We start another set of three, and I won't mention that anymore lest it confuse somebody. 7. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. My captivity in this is awesome. Through Christ you can always get out. Got it? Verse 8. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. that's to say my personal prayer. It seems like it's always shut out. We hear that a lot. You've got to love Him and be disciplined by Him to have prayers answered. Verse 9. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. My paths turn and they turn about. They always seem to turn and I go right back where I started from. Okay. And hewn stone, you want to be real careful of this. When it is mentioned in a prophetic sense, you're supposed to keep up with the Kenite and they that caused the trouble by enumerating stones worn smooth over a long period of time. You might say, well, document that for me. It's real easy. It's the word count, as in counting the number of the beast, the man, 666. That's what that word count means. Is you count by enumerating the stones, his children, over a long period of time. Don't hedge yourself in with them. Or you always get turned around. You can march and march, and you're going to always, without God, end up right where you started, in the same mess. How? You got it. By not following him. Verse 10. He wasn't in me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. It seems like he was after me. Well, he should be. Okay. God loves his nation. He protects her when it is at all possible, when given an excuse through prayer and people simply asking. 11. He has turned aside my ways. And pulled me in pieces, he hath made me desolate. It would seem that he's trying to get my attention. That still, when you understand God's judgment, means God loves his children. And he does pull at you, the very strings of your heart, to touch you and to lead you, to bring you back home. Now, what path is it that you're supposed to take? What way? Not the crooked way, but Christ is the way. Always. You can kind of relate this to this prophet who's bringing this down on the people, but it's kind of like before it's over in this book, this particular chapter, he stands for all the people, and it looks forward to that one that stands for the sin of all the people. That is to say, Christ himself, as it is written in Psalms 22. Verse 12, he hath been his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. And city and the nation is always going to be his mark. Okay, naturally. But I want you to think of arrows also, as it means here, sons, in the next verse. Okay. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. That is, a man is blessed if he has many children. As they'll always say, his quiver is full. It's a Hebraism. Okay. Well, God has a lot of children. Okay. And he manages those sons, especially those that will listen to him. Verse 14. I was a derision to all my people. And their song all the day, their mocking song, they mock me day and night. Verse 15, he hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. And, of course, wormwood is bitterness, okay? And so it is. Verse 16, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with his ashes. He's that being the results, all right, he rolled me in ashes. What is mourning? Okay. But again, here, what is it? The broken my teeth with gravel stones, eating gritty meal. Okay. But again, it goes back to the same thing spiritually, and we're speaking spiritually. If you allow the little stones that enumerate over a long period of time the mark of the beast, that is to say his children, the Kenites, and you let them come into your midst, your teeth are going to be worn down, all right. You're not going to have any bite to it, and you will you allow those stones in that you're supposed to be enumerating and let them take over, and boy, are you going to be covered with ashes from within. Verse 17, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. I forgot the good. It's been so long, my city and my nation has forgot what was really good. And boy, how true that is. You know, we allow ourselves to come down where children can't even pray in school. That is to say, with the permission of the ilk. But the certain legal situations that are trash and should be in the dog pen. Okay. And then wonder, have the stupidity of wondering then why shootings take place in schools. When you drive God out, guess who comes in? And so it is. The good kind of has gone by the wayside. Prophecy always fulfills itself. Verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. You need to add a little word there. My memory is as the wormwood and gall. That means bitterness. I'm just bitter memories. You don't have to look around too much today till you can see bitterness in what people who are supposed to represent the people do. Bitterness. Verse 20, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. That is the whole purpose. And you want to remember that. What do you mean the whole purpose? It's God's purpose. That your soul will remember and be humbled before God and return to Him. Verse 21, to finish the set of 11, two 11s, okay? This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. In other words, you can hope. Do you know something? There's only one hope in this world, and it is our Lord Jesus Christ. In Him we have hope. You hear a bunch of nonsense and political rhetoric about hope. That's junk that'll lead you right into the trash bin. But hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ that protects us. That protects the young, that protects the old, that cares for the people, that takes this Christian nation along with the other religions that are allowed here into the fold. Judeo-Christianity based and founded this nation. And that is our hope. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. For that's all we have, is that hope. And in following it, we have His blessings. That's why this is the superpower of superpowers in these end times. We come now to the second set, verses 22 through 36, okay, in the English, but it would be the second set out of the 22, we move forward then. And what it is remembering God's mercy. Remembering Yahweh, our Heavenly Father's mercy. We pick it up in verse 22. We change from judgment to mercy. This is what you want. Listen carefully. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. In other words, if He didn't love us, we wouldn't be here. 23, they are new every morning, fresh every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. How precious it is to serve Him, to wake in the morning and feel Him and be near Him. 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. That is the hope we have, dear one. And there is no other hope but to hope in Him. Because His promises are always true. You can count on it. Verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. Got it? Don't read over it. That wait for Him to the soul that seeketh Him. You got to be patient. And you have to wait for the true Christ. Don't fall off to the fake. Keep enumerating those stones that will cut your teeth right down to the bit. And know and understand and count those that mark the evil one. Wait patiently for the righteous one. 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Wait silently, knowing that you have that eternal hope, and it freshens every day when you stay in His Word, when you read from His Word, when you fortify yourself with the knowledge that God has instilled in the letter that He has sent to you. Especially when it comes to a letter like this that is so marked in the acrostic that man can't change it. 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. In other words, it is good for a man if he bears the chastisement of the yoke in his youth. Well, why is that? Well, the analogy is that if you work an animal with a piece of leather tongs or straps or chains without a yoke, it cuts the flesh. It damages the animal. But if you place a yoke on it and then hook the tugs to that yoke, the load is easy to carry. And Christ is our yoke. So when you come to the Lord early in life, it's a blessing. It is really a blessing. Verse 28. He sitteth alone and keepeth silent because he has borne it upon him. He sits silent because he's borne it upon him. He has the yoke to carry it. Okay. For the hope. 29. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. In other words, he's laying prostrate before Almighty God. 30, he giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. he doesn't bear the Kenite too well. Okay, you notice them. The little stones. 31, for the Lord will not cast off forever. The Lord brings his own home, and he takes care of them. Verse 32, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. He may get a little rough to chastise you and bring you to tow at times, but it's always worth it because his compassion is so sweet, and his mercies, his unmerited favor is always there. Well, what is it? It's love. He loves you. 33. For he doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. He does not willingly, but from the heart he loves his children. This word willingly can translate from the heart. Okay. He doesn't go out to zap somebody every day. He corrects because he loves. He disciplines because he loves. 34, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth. That is to say, those that go against him, they're losers. You can count on it. 35, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. To 36, and this completes that set of 22, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. I'll read that one more time. To subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. When God is always righteous and He's always fair, and He will never correct someone that has a righteous cause. That's the whole idea. Okay. Now, 37 through 51 covers that particular segment of this, covers sin and confession. Okay. Sin and confession. And like I say, it does kind of allude to the coming of the one that would take on the sin of the world for the children. Okay? Verse 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Now think about that good. You know, you got to figure it out. Who can do that? Nobody. Okay. Nobody can say something's going to come to pass when Father didn't command it. That's called a false prophet. Okay. God is the only one that can command, and it always comes to pass. 38, out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. You can't have sweet and bitter water out of the same stream. 39, wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins. A mortal man, you know, that's what the word is. It means liable to die. Why should a man cry because of the punishment of his sin? He deserves it. He's got it coming. Kiss the paddle and thank the Lord. Verse 40. Let us search and try our ways. Check them out good. And turn again to the Lord. That's confession and repentance. That's what gets it done when you slip. 41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned the nation or the city. And so it is. He scattered them. And in large part, most of them are still lost. 43. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. That is to say, those that would be the enemy of his people. Okay? That's the way he is. That's the way he operates. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. If you're not genuine, and you pray to the wrong Messiah, then it's not going to be heard by our Father. 45, thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuge in the midst of the people. You made us like a garbage dump. And when you're away from the Lord, that's what it's like. Now, here we have, where we have a set of three, then this becomes the 16th and the 17th set of verses, okay, of pe and an. And again, they're reversed. You got to go to, you can't take the modern block Hebrew and understand it. You have to go to the ancient Hebrew. Whereas pe stands for mouth, okay? Why? Because it's shaped like a C and it's got a tongue in it. That makes sense, doesn't it? That's common sense. When you saw that letter, particular letter drawn, pe, it meant mouth, period. A child could understand that. Whereas an in the Hebrew, ancient, is like much shaped much like our O, and it means eye. It means open your eyes and look and see. Why did God reverse them? To call your attention to it. To listen to the mouth, but see with the eye. And hear what God has to say. So, verses 46, 47, and 48 all begin with pay. Mouth. Listen to it. 46. Our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Are you listening? Our enemies have opened their mouths against us. What did chapter 1, what did they say our enemies was? And one of them was our chief. 47. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. If you listen to it, if you allow it to continue. The last verse of Peh, mouth. 48. Mine eye, he even lets an eye slip in here, and there's a reason for it. My eye runneth down with rivers of waters for the destruction of the daughter of my people. And then the reversed amen falls into place, the eye. Father, I want you to open your eyes, you that have eyes to see and ears to hear, to understand the hidden message he places here for you in his mercy, his tender mercies upon those that love him. 49. mine eye, and there's the A-N, my eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. You have compassion for the people. 50, the second of the A-Ns. Till the Lord looked down, that's his eye, till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven, he does. And the final verse, 51 of A-N. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Now, 16, that was the three sets of pe, is love in numerics. 17, which is the A-N, is victory. Do you want that victory? You catch it because of the daughter of the city and God's compassion for his children, for those daughters, for his people. It's the mercy of the living God. You know, our Father loves us very much, and as he said earlier, I do this from my heart. He meant it, and it is from his heart that he hides these tidbits for us. Not really hidden, they're sticks out like a sore thumb. To some people. Some people think it was an error and they never looked past that. Oh, they got those two crossed up there. In this case, he made sure you really understood because he divided into three lines each of the same letter and tagged each one with either a pe or an an so that you wouldn't miss it. The mouth of our enemy is speaking. Do you hear it? Does your ear hear it? Do you know whether it's from God or the enemy? You better learn the difference. The hour is late. Open your eyes just as God has opened his eyes from heaven and is watching. Things are about to happen. Hang on. Be a watchman. Don't miss the next lecture. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment. Won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again with that 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. Let's don't judge people. God is our judge, and he is quite able to take care of his own part. Okay, but you are able to discern, and you should discern where it is Father would want you. Okay, and let him know. The main thing he wants is he wants you to love him. So do let him know that you love him. Won't you do that? Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you a mailing address. Got a prayer request? Do away with the number and the address. Why? He knows what you're thinking. He's the heart knower, and he loves you. Hosea 6:6, I don't want your burnt offerings, I want your love. He wants you to love him and follow him. Listen to him. Don't listen to the enemy. And do it in God's own way. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct. Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Ari from California. I am 10 years old and a new Shepherd's Chapel student. My question is there any sin that is unforgivable? Thank you and God bless you. Real good. Well, that's a good question, especially for a 10-year-old, and it's good to have you with us. Welcome aboard. There is one sin that is unpardonable, and you can read of it in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. It has to do with one of God's elect, pre-chosen from before, that know, absolutely know of a certainty the difference between the false Christ and the true Christ. And as it is written in that chapter of Luke 12, verse 10, when you're delivered up before the Antichrist in the synagogue of Satan, you must allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. If you refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through you, that's unpardonable. That is what is known as the unpardonable sin. It's called blasphemy. Okay? Welcome aboard, son. Vicki from Washington. I have been addicted to prescription medications, but have stopped this and am now going through withdrawals. I want to know, will the Lord forgive me for this? I've repented for what I have done. Well, usually prescription drugs are doctor administered, as long as it's done by a good surgeon and it's for pain or for medical reasons. Sometimes, especially if it's for a mental condition, you sure don't want to go off without talking to your doctor. But God expects us to take, that's why He created certain herbs with medicinal value, so that we would have healing balms for ourselves, poluses, even in one place, for healing. And Luke himself, he was a physician, he was a doctor, and God used him a great deal. So there's no sin in medications properly used, okay? Donnie from Illinois, which Strong's Concordance should I use? You know, there are so many, it makes it real easy if you just order one from Shepherd's Chapel, and you'll be sure you have the right one. There are some on the market that are not, they've been tampered with, just like a lot of the newer versions of the Bible. They've been messed with, and they will do you harm. So it's real simple for me just simply to say, order it through Shepherd's Chapel Library, and you'll do good. Charles from Georgia, I would like to know that you are right when you tell people to ask God about quitting the church because you don't agree about the rapture. I don't tell anybody where to go to church. I don't know where you get that from. Never. Never would I, you know, everybody must go where, God is the one that decides that. It may be a church you don't agree with, but He may have you going there or have had you going there most of your life to use you to help one or two people with the real truth. I don't know, but I guarantee you our Father does. So you have never heard me tell anyone to stop going to this church or that church. I don't judge churches. While studying John 19:24, my Bible gave reference to Psalms 22:18, and I want to know, does this mean David was a prophet? Haven't you ever read Acts? The book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 30, documents that David was a prophet. That's why those words in Psalms 22, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, were stated by Christ hanging on the cross. Okay, David foresaw it. God used that. God spoke to him. Tim from Georgia, I don't understand about the 7,000 that God set aside in Romans. Can you explain this? 7,000 is not a lot of people. Well, what does 7 mean? It means spiritual completeness. So whatever the 7,000 means, spiritually complete. Okay. And there are an awful lot more kings and queens of the ethnos that are God's election also than there are of the house, the tribes, okay? Steve from Minnesota. I'm 59 years old and dying of colon cancer, which spread to my liver. I've been a terrible sinner all my life, and now I'm looking for salvation from the Lord because I know my life is over. How do I prepare myself for the big slate that awaits me? Tell me about Him, okay? He's putting together an army up there to come back and sack a bunch of people. And It'll be just as pleasurable to be in that army as it will this one. So let him know you love him and set your things in order and you're in good shape, okay? You have a body that is your spiritual body that is incapable of having disease. It's eternal. It is, in fact, your real body. So rest easy and love the Lord. He loves you. Dorothy from I think that's Texas, okay? Please, could you repeat just where to find the information about where America is mentioned in Scripture? I've had no insights with words like tall and clean-shaven, fine-peeled in Isaiah 18. When a man shaves, he's peeling his face, okay? And the Hebrew translation carries that. And the land divided by rivers, look at a map, okay? It is. We have the Mississippi, we have the Arkansas, the Colorado, the Missouri, on across this great nation is divided in parts. But the most important thing is, you're a citizen of it, and it is so blessed by God. Why? You pick a coin out of your pocket, and God we trust. Because the people who first came to this country were escaping lands whereby you had to go by the national religion. And here we could form our own. And there is a separation of church and state. It means the state can't mess with our churches. Churches can do whatever churches should do. But you get a bunch of atheists that want to take that way beyond what the founding meanings meant, founders meant by it. So be that as it may. So it's beautiful. It is. And to me, that is really what brought me into studying God's Word. It's when a certain scholar said, isn't it wonderful to know where America, we are mentioned in God's Word? The lost tribes that were scattered, God didn't lose them, we lost ourselves. And you find yourself in the very history and heritage of Almighty God. Tony from New York, is there a difference between cremation and being buried in the ground? Well, we read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 6 and 7, and you can make your own mind up, where it stipulates there, when this clay pot breaks, you can do whatever you want to with it. You're through with it. It says, the silver cord parts, your spiritual body, your spirit, the intellect of your soul, and your soul returns instantly to the Father that gave it, okay, into that dimension. And this clay pot turns back to dust, doesn't matter how it gets there. Read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. If you want to take it another step further to learn what happens to the flesh, read chapter 9. It goes into the ground, it goes back to dust, and nobody ever remembers it again. Why? Why would they remember it when you've got that perfect spiritual body that never gets ill, okay? Or old, wrinkled, or any of that business? David from Kentucky, what study Bible do you recommend? I recommend the companion Bible that we carry here in the our Shepherd's Chapel library, because of the appendix and because of the arranger thereof. Dr. Bullinger was a mentor of mine, one of the, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest scholars in the 19th century and part of the 18th. You know, what a man. He really was a scholar of God's Word. Ruth from Ohio. Would you please give me more information on there being men before Adam? Thank you. Well, you find it in the book of Genesis, where on the sixth day God created all the races. He rested the seventh day, and then he wanted a husbandman, so he created Eth Ha'adam, a different man altogether. Eth Ha'adam. And that family is the family through which Christ would come, through Mother Eve. That's why it is written, Mother Eve is the mother of all living. Not that she was the only female on earth, there were a lot of others. But out of her would come the Savior, which gives eternal life. Therefore, Eve is the mother of all living and eternal life. The others can only give life once and you die. But through Christ, we have eternal life. That's why it's written so. Paul from Mississippi. I'm looking for the genealogy of Mary. I read Luke 3:23, and I don't see where Mary came from. Well, it is a little difficult, okay? First of all, you have to know the law of those times in expression. When it says that Christ was as was supposed in twin of Joseph, that means as by law, Christ was of Joseph. Only Joseph was married to whom? Mary. Okay. But he wasn't Jesus' father. You see, if there is not a male descendant of Heli, which there wasn't, Mary had the genealogy passed to her husband. This is why, as in Matthew, you have a lot of begats, but that's talking about Joseph. In Luke chapter 3, you don't have any begats because it's by law. That's what as was supposed means in the Greek, by law. Okay? They were in-laws, in other words. But it is the true genealogy of Jesus, okay, through Mary. Matilda from California, what chapter and verse tells us we were here in the first earth age before Christ? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And we just completed the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. We were foreordained. It's only talking to God's elect, okay? The saints, the set-aside ones. Doesn't mean they're special, but they stood against Satan in the first earth age. You know, it's an amazing thing. A lot of people just shudder when you say we came from the first earth age. Well, where did you really come from? Well, came from God, of course. Well, you didn't come from some rock out here. So if you came from God, where were you that you came from Him? You were somewhere, or you couldn't have come from Him. Well, you were with Him when He created all of His sons, and they rejoiced in the heavens, as it is written even in the first earth age. Job chapter 38. Amy from Washington, will the Antichrist refuse to be born of woman and therefore not grow up as a child? Will he just appear on earth as an adult somewhere? Absolutely. Satan has come. He has only one drive, and that's to be Christ. Okay. He wants to be Savior. This is what got him in trouble even in the first earth age. He was supposed to be protecting the mercy seat. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19 gives his sentence. The prior verses give his occupation. He was the cherub that covereth, meaning protects, the mercy seat. He decided he wanted to sit on it. And it has a messiah connotation, meaning of Christ. He wasn't Christ. He was just a cherubim. But oh, how proud he was of himself. And he not only wanted to take the seat on the very mercy seat itself, but he drew a third of God's children away from Almighty God. He's still doing it, even in this earth age. He draws a lot of people. Old Satan draws a lot of people away from our Father, and to their detriment for certain. It removes God's blessings from their life. So there you have it. Larry from, don't know where Larry's from. How many times does God forgive you for your sins? At what point does He turn His back on you? God will never turn His back on you. You may turn your back on Him, but God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And Jesus said 7 times 70, that's 490 times a day. As long as you repent, you're forgiven. But it's got to be genuine. You can't just mouth it. And it means that you have a change of mind and that you have repented. Both of those things. Okay, William from Mississippi. I am disabled and in a lot of pain. Is it a sin to take my pain medicine as prescribed? No, of course not. As I, you know, it's strange that we had two on the same line today. Luke was a medical doctor, and God used him tremendously. He was a physician. And again, that's why that God gives certain people the ability to create from natural substances as well as other things, medicine that alleviates pain. And certainly it is acceptable. Cynthia, don't know where she's from. If somebody is working witchcraft against you, what passage can I go to in the Bible to fight this? Well, you don't have to fight it. Witchcraft is bunk. Okay. The only way witchcraft can work is if you allow it to get into your head. Okay. You allow them to buffalo you. That means run a bluff on you. Because you're a Christian. You're a daughter of the living God. Why would you let some clown affect you? You know, with a dunce hat on. I don't think anybody would want to be too afraid of a dunce hat. Okay. God gives you that power and that authority in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Gives you power over all your enemies in Christ's name. Witchcraft is bunk. Don't let it get into your head. They can't do anything to you, okay? But if it helps, order it out in the name of Jesus Christ, and it'll scramble them. Tim from Indiana. I am curious about the word medicine in the Bible. I have been told that it means sorcery, but I have to take medicine because I am disabled. What is your opinion on this? This is rare that we would get three of these in one setting here, in one handful of messages. somebody has confused you a little bit. Medicine is not sorcery. Okay. What they are showing ignorance about is that the word sorcery in the Greek is pharmaceutica. Okay, it's where our word pharmacy comes from. It means drugs. But what that sorcery does, it takes bad drugs and uses them to cause people to hallucinate, to have a so-called spiritual feeling. Okay. You don't need drugs to do that. That's ignorance. Okay, and that's why God is so down on sorcery. But medicine itself was prescribed by Luke, and God provided and mentions certain things, various cakes that can be used in poluses and other things for healing in the Word of God, okay? So, and so it is. And naturally, anointing and healing and asking God for healing doesn't help. It does help sometimes, okay? It doesn't do any harm. Is it okay for someone, I don't have a name, is it okay for someone to preach the Bible on the pulpit without being ordained? Where can I find this? Hey, if somebody has a message, there's nothing written in the Bible about someone being ordained to speak from the pulpit, okay? God used a lot of people to speak powerful messages. They certainly weren't ordained by man, but they were ordained by God. An ordination from God is something that isn't visible. It is something that it is. Well, why is it? Because God did it. Okay. God uses whomever He chooses to use. All right. So I would not be judgmental if I were you about whoever is trying to fill in. Maybe they're just trying, I don't know the situation, but maybe it's somebody that's trying to fill in because they have no pastor. That's admirable. That's good, okay? As long as they don't mislead people, that would be bad, okay? So be it. Eno from Wisconsin. My mom fears that I've lost or am led away when I speak of earth ages. Cain and Abel in the eighth day, baby baptism, millennium, and so forth. Should I just say her beliefs? Well, don't argue the Bible with her. If she has not accepted what you believe, it's fine. She's your mom. Love her, okay? Moms are precious, all right? She's the one that brought you into this world. And don't, if she cannot, not everybody has eyes to see, but she will be fine. You just set that example. My daughters are university educated. Now I fear they have been told the Bible is a child's fairy tale for the ignorant. Well, unfortunately, we've got a lot of unlearned professors that draw huge salaries, that take huge funds from students to teach them ignorance, okay, stupidity, such as evolution, that it's absolutely the way things were. And if evolution were a fact, it would have to prove itself by having life in every stage from beginning to end, all at one time. It would have to be eternal. It isn't. Not because it's the way God created us. And so you set the example, they'll follow. Okay? You set the example, and you'll help them a great deal. You hang tough. You're doing good. God loves you. I do. I love all of you because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you. You stay in His Word, okay? Let Him know that you love Him. It makes His day. When you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. Now, we are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, blessing God, He always blesses you. One thing that's most important, though, you listen carefully. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word, even with trouble, it's still a good day. There's a reason for it. You know what it is? Because the Word, Christ, is that living Word.